52 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Allison Keyes. In Texas, the state Supreme Court has put a judge's ruling on hold, allowing a woman to have an abortion. The state has a nearly total ban on the procedure. But Kate Cox, a mother of two, sued to have one, saying doctors have told her that her fetus is at high risk of a miscarriage or stillbirth. The ruling applies only to Cox, who also says forcing her to carry the child to term could impair her ability to have more children. CBS's Michelle Miller explains.
A judge granted her an emergency order to end the pregnancy on Thursday, but Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton appealed the decision and argued that she had not demonstrated that she would suffer immediate and irreparable harm without an abortion. Paxton also warned the doctor and hospitals that they could be sued and prosecuted if they perform the procedure.
Now to Israel, where its ground and air offensive against Hamas is ramping up a day after the U.S. vetoed a U.N. Security Council resolution for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. The militant-run health ministry says some 17,700 people have died in Gaza, and the Israeli National Security Advisor says at least 7,000 Hamas militants have been killed. CBS's Rami Innocencio.
The World Food Program now says about half of Gaza's population of more than 2 million don't have enough food. I came here to find starvation, said this father who fled south to Rafah. This isn't milk, it's basically water. And clean drinking water is a luxury too. Our CBS News producer in Gaza shot video of desperate Palestinians ransacking a UN truck.
At the Vatican.
Sono questi chi pagano.
Pope Francis is asking for spiritual support, especially for children caught in the Israel-Hamas war. Back in the U.S., some crazy weather headed to parts of the nation. Kelly Cass is at the Weather Channel.
Down towards Pittsburgh, you've got the 95 corridor with temperatures in the 50s, so it's all rain. And then eventually the winds get really strong Sunday night into Monday, gusting as high as hurricane strength. And that's going to allow that cold air to come in on the backside, resulting in snowfall for the high elevations, the interior sections of the Northeast.
In Houston, there's a mayoral runoff between Representative Sheila Jackson Lee and State Senator John Whitmire. The two powerful politicians are seeking to run the nation's fourth largest city. The diverse metro area faces a series of challenges, including crime and potential budget shortfalls. Lee and Whitmire made it to the runoff after beating a crowded field of nearly 20 candidates in the November 7th election. If Lee wins, she would be Houston's first black female mayor. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
The best selling.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Fewer college students are taking foreign language courses. A new report warns this could affect how well students are prepared for the future. Here's Joe Ullery.
The Modern Language Association survey finds fewer students chose to study languages other than English between 2016 and 2021. Nationally, enrollment dropped 17% during the same period. Professor of Spanish and Portuguese Deborah Cohn says the tanking numbers could spell trouble for students applying for college and have implications for equity.
In Indiana, between 2016 and 2021, they dropped from 42,000 to 30,000. So that is a drop in that 5-year period, that is a drop of 29.4%.
Cohn points out that foreign language studies provide cultural knowledge and open doors for many types of jobs. The report says adequate funding for language problems and support from the schools are needed to help keep them going. According to the report, making foreign language courses more career-focused might attract more students. Cohn underscores that the nation is becoming more diverse, so it's important to understand and be able to connect with others.
We need people who can speak languages, who can offer social services, legal services, medical services within this country.
One thing that might turn the ship, according to Cohn, is getting students involved in studying languages at all levels, especially when they are young. The report also recommends schools building partnerships with multicultural organizations. I'm Joe Ullery. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some snow is possible, highs near 38 degrees. For tonight, snow likely, less than a half inch of accumulation, breezy with a low around 23. Sunny for Sunday, 31, sunshine and 35 on your Monday. For Tuesday, sunny and breezy, a high of 30.
Right now, 35.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
It's true. I am at the Lake Wissota studio. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Thursday, December 7th. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north. From wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, live on social media, or on demand through a podcast. Nice to have you here. I've got a question for you. With Norman Lear's passing, can TV be as thought-provoking and edgy and funny all at once? Or was it an impact at his level that something gets done like that only once? That kind of impact at that kind of level gets done once. Everything else is in his shadow. Think about that. I know somebody who has some thoughts, and we're going to find out about that from him in literally seconds. But first, more about this morning's show. The title of our show, Fake Around and Find Out. The 10 Republicans who agreed to be fake Trump electors only met for a few minutes in the state capitol 3 years ago this month. But the fraud they committed that day will follow them for a long time to come, now that they have settled a lawsuit accusing them of conspiring to defraud voters. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki in a little bit. In our second hour, Hometown Health seeking a new generation of nurses. Wisconsin's healthcare challenges include that severe shortage of nurses, which was already daunting before the pandemic because of demographics. Then you add COVID and all of the early retirements after that. We're going to learn about the efforts being made to attract and train a new generation of caregivers. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be along with that. Weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki joins us as well to talk about a big warm-up in store. And it's Thursday, so we'll talk to Luke Mathers and find out what else you should be learning about and listening to across the Civic Media Radio Network. Along the way, if you're one of those folks who can, you know, get the sleep out of your eyes and the frog out of your throat and want to get on the phone here, our number is 844-967-2789. You can call that number or text it. You can use the Civic Media app to do one of those things as well. You can send us a note by email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And you can leave a comment on one of the social media pages. A lot of you watch through the Up North News Facebook page, but also the Civic Media Facebook page. There's others out there as well. So no shortage of ways to catch the show, and we're glad that you do. Temperatures this morning across Wisconsin on par with where they were about this time yesterday. So the big warm-up is not here yet, but Lake Wissota, we're here at 28 degrees right now on 93.5 The Tap in Chippewa Falls. Hayward, folks listening to Buzz of the North, it's 26 degrees. Park Falls is at 24. Bull Falls radio listeners in Wausau, you're at 29 degrees. Green Bay, 34. La Crosse, 34. Wisconsin Rapids 32, Oshkosh is at 36, Madison at 35, and it is 32 degrees right now in Waukesha, where we find Greg Bach standing by, who left us
in a
bit of a lurch here yesterday.
Yeah.
He kind of, well, Todd and I were talking about Norman Lear, and mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of a trailblazer, and mm-hmm. you could, things like this could never be done again. And the last thing we hear is, I disagree. It's like, we're out of time, Greg. We're out of time. So Greg, the next 1 hour and 50 minutes is all yours. Go ahead.
All right. Well, folks, strap in. It's the Pat Kreitlow Show starring Greg Bach today. I thought about what I had said to you both as we were signing off yesterday, and I have an addendum to that statement.
Okay. The gentleman from Waukesha would like to amend his remarks.
Thank you. I reclaim my time. And not only do I vehemently disagree with what both of you said, but you are both absolutely dead wrong.
Okay. That's great. So we hope you enjoyed listening to Greg Bach. Let's turn to sports now at 6:10. No.
With regard to that is especially I work in comedy. That's my industry. That's my area of expertise. It is a topic that is routinely brought up. You can't do that today. You couldn't make this today. Well, the biggest example is always Blazing Saddles. Everyone always goes to Blazing Saddles.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with Lenny Bruce when you talked about comedy, but there's pioneers in all these areas.
Yeah.
Lenny Bruce for stand-up, Mel Brooks for movies, Norman yes, Lear for TV.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, go ahead with Blazing Saddles.
Lenny Bruce, I can go to an open mic on any given night and I can see someone bashing religion or swearing on stage or, you know, finding their artistic voice. And that is great. They are descendants of Lenny Bruce, George Carlin, Richard Pryor, so on and so forth. Things like when we're talking about the TV shows, I mean, we can't forget that Norman Lear executive produced and remade One Day at a Time on Netflix. Yes. With a new cast. It was a uh-huh. Latino cast, Latinx cast, talking about the struggles of their day. I watched the show and I liked it. I thought it was very, very funny, and it wasn't heavy-handed in my opinion, but it definitely baked in the experience of that culture in the everyday life. We like to talk about things like All in the Family. They've made shows that have that, you know, kind of bumpkin father figure who says the wrong things and does the wrong things. And because he hasn't used the same language, I still think that they owe a debt of gratitude to what Norman Lear helped build as far as expressing cultural and racial and gender role struggles in our country, at least. I can't speak for other countries, but I think you absolutely can, and they have done it. They have made very impactful shows, and I would say, yeah, they stand in the shadow, or they owe a debt of gratitude to Norman Lear. As far as movies go, I mean, let's just say it right here. No one wants a remake of Blazing Saddles, regardless of the topic. It just... Reboots.
Well, but it's not about a remake. It's again about taking something in society mm-hmm. and giving it the mockery that it deserves, because up until that point, everybody was afraid
yeah.
to call it out. Mel Brooks called it out. Norman Lear called it out. What's the kind of thing today that people are very reluctant to touch and is just dying for somebody to come on and show that the emperor has no clothes, but make you laugh along the way?
Well, one, we do have programming that does that. We talk like there a lot of programs now will deal with subject matters as far as like homophobia, transphobia. I think where instead of looking at like sitcoms, we're getting a lot of that from our late night political comedy shows are looking mm-hmm. at topic matters and really like dressing them down, exposing the truth, while also tying in jokes. And one of the things that, you know, I Blazing Saddles is a wonderful movie. And I want to go back to that for a second, because Mel Brooks did make that film. He directed it. He produced it. But he sat in a room with three other writers and he said, we cannot write a movie about racial prejudice with four Jewish men writing it. We need a voice. And that voice was Richard Pryor. And that's the important thing we have to remember, is that nowadays we are making movies and TV shows that are exposing hypocrisies and the various prejudices. But those rooms are filled with creators who reflect the message they're in, whether it's, you know, people of color, people from the queer community, people, you know, immigrant families, things of that nature. So while Norman Lear did take the reins and he moved us forward, he opened the doors up for other creators to tell their stories then, because it's important to remember that if we're going to talk about injustices, we have to speak to those who the injustices are being committed against. And they're the ones writing these shows now, and they're the ones producing and making these films. So it's not as pointed. And there's also so much of it now. There is no real one, like, what is the beacon
there's no
shining
one gatekeeper. Yeah. There were three gatekeepers, you know, at the three networks, and that was it. Your point is completely spot on that. Yeah. It's not just what he did on screen. He opened up the door of the writer's room, mm-hmm, and said, come in and tell us your experiences and, you know, let us help you, because we understand a thing or two about writing and making people laugh too.
Yeah.
But we can't do it without your experiences.
Yeah.
And at that point, Robin Voss came in and said, we're against this kind of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And he withheld all the money from the studios, and there were no more movies.
Pat Kreitlow, I just got to say, that was very, very good, Pat.
When we unpack the news in a bit, we'll get into how Devin Lemieux, the Senate Republican leader, is continuing to distance himself from Assembly Speaker Voss. But we're not ready to quite make that pivot yet. I just want to say thanks again. That was excellent in helping explain, you know, what was different about then and now, what all Norman Lear did, and that of course there's people that can still be edgy. Of course, there's people that can still be hold up a mirror to society. But I think we both in our different ways expressed our gratitude to a true pioneer.
Absolutely. He was 101 and I was still sad. I'm like, yeah, he's 101, but I'm like, no.
Oh, best social media post from last night was pointing out that he made it to 101. Bob Hope made it to 100. George Burns made it to 100. The list just went on and said, maybe making people laugh is the thing that's ultimately best for you.
I'm going to live to 150.
I'm surprised I've made it this long.
Oh,
it's 6:17. Let's turn now to what's in the Up North News Daily newsletter. You can sign up for that at upnorthnewswi.com. And on this December 7th, we do remember Pearl Harbor. We talk about Wisconsin's connections to Pearl Harbor in today's issue. Christina Laurie has a story about a Vietnam veteran from Oconomowoc turned author. And then I have an article that summarizes our interview earlier this year with John Kinville, who wrote a book about Harry Kramer, a young man from Chippewa Falls that, frankly, nobody in this day and age had heard of in Chippewa Falls because he was long gone. His family had pretty much all moved out of town. But the discovery of a box of his letters to and from Pearl Harbor brought back the life, metaphorically, of this young Chippewa Falls man. And John Kinville wrote a book about Harry Kramer's life leading up to Pearl Harbor before he was lost on that December 7th. We had that interview earlier this year, and we are going to play that back tomorrow morning at 7:30. Mark Jacob is off this week, and so in the 7:30 spot tomorrow, we'll play back our conversation with John Kinville about Pearl Harbor hero Harry Kramer. Take a break here and unpack the news wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north. Come on back up to the lake right after this.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
She whispered in my ear something crazy. She said, do one, take that pearl.
In today's history lesson, about a half hour from now, we'll tell you why Eric Burton is part of today's rundown. Stick around for that. A couple of sports notes. Former Brewers catcher Victor Caratini has signed a deal to go to the Houston Astros. The Milwaukee Bucks are in the semifinal of the in-season tournament in Las Vegas this afternoon against the Indiana Pacers. It's a 4 o'clock tip-off Central Time. You should be able to hear that game on Oshkosh Air Support, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country on the Civic Media Radio Network. The 8th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team defeated Texas last night at the Fiserv Forum, 86-65. They will host Notre Dame on Saturday night. The Badgers are idle until Saturday when they travel to Arizona to take on the number one-ranked team in the country. The NCAA volleyball tournament continues today with the Sweet 16 and the Badgers hosting number 5 seed Penn State. Penn State was one of only 3 teams to beat the Badgers in the regular season just about a month ago. If they beat the Nittany Lions, they would host a regional final on Saturday for a chance to go to the Final Four in Tampa starting on December 14th. All right, there's a lot going on in the world. It's a lot to unpack, but we try to unpack the news every morning during this half hour for you. And the big story after we left you yesterday was the news that the fake electors in Wisconsin had reached a settlement in a civil lawsuit that had been filed against them by some of the actual electors, the genuine electors, the rightful electors who were suing them for defrauding you, for defrauding the voters of Wisconsin and, you know, conspiring essentially to steal an election. And those fake electors have now settled that suit in a way that has a lot of impact. And we're going to talk much more with Joe Zepecki about that coming up in just a bit. But the overview is this: to settle the civil lawsuit, the fake electors have rescinded their false claims that Donald Trump, quote unquote, won the 2020 election. They have agreed to cooperate with investigators who are continuing to look into the efforts to overturn the election. They will not serve as electors in 2024 or in any election if Donald Trump is on the ballot. All of this was in a story that was, I believe, first broken by Patrick Marley of the Washington Post, formerly with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The settlement was filed yesterday in Dane County Circuit Court and included previously unreleased photos and text messages all about how the fake electors gathered in December of 2020 to sign that fraudulent paperwork claiming that Trump had won Wisconsin's electoral votes when obviously Joe Biden had defeated Trump narrowly, but accurately and fairly by about 21,000 votes. Excuse me, just a second. Take a little sip of coffee here. Occupational hazard. We already know that the special congressional committee that was investigating the insurrection had already provided details of the plans that were made by Trump and his campaign to create these alternate slates of electors, part of an effort to either have the election outcome changed during a joint session of Congress on that fateful January 6th, or at least cast things in doubt and send things back to state legislatures, conceivably to pick electors who did not represent the way that the voters had actually chosen. Now, the Trump campaign did this in seven states. Wisconsin's actually the first one to have Trump supporters legally revoke their false claims and agree not to do so in a future election. And that's interesting because Wisconsin's also one of the few states that, as far as we know, there is not a criminal investigation going on. In other states, some of the fake electors are already facing felony criminal charges against them. We don't know what's happening here because the Wisconsin Department of Justice and Attorney General Josh Call have said, well, we don't comment on ongoing investigations. We don't confirm or deny that there is an investigation. So the honest answer is we don't know. It has frustrated some people. It's frustrated many people. But this civil lawsuit to get this kind of agreement from the fake electors and these kinds of acknowledgments, this is a big deal. And it again is, even though it's 3 years later, an indication that, you know, justice will not be denied for the people who tried to steal an American election and essentially plot a coup. Now, there are Republicans who are still trying to tell their fellow Republicans about this and to try to give up the cult of personality that surrounds Donald Trump. But as we can see in the latest polling, the people who were on that stage, that debate stage in Alabama last night, they're still 40 points or more behind in Republican polling. Well, they tried to debate anyway, and they just all ended up shouting at each other, especially Vivek Ramaswamy, who was given quite the verbal spanking by Chris Christie, who finally told him in so many words what a, you know, blowhard and a pipsqueak he was, and nobody likes him, and the crowd certainly applauded. You know my feelings on crowds at debates, but that was a refreshing round of applause to hear. But still, they're all having a tough time helping Republican voters see that maybe nominating Trump again isn't the best or the right thing to do. Even the leader of Republicans in the Wisconsin State Senate, Devin Lemahue, said as much in a recent interview. He said that his preference is for former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, but he stopped short of calling it an endorsement. And I don't want to split hairs, you know, at 6:27 in the morning, but if you publicly express a preference for somebody, that's an endorsement. And Lemahue did say with all humility that sometimes his endorsements haven't always panned out, and that's why he was reluctant to make an endorsement, but he did express a preference, and he did express the thought that Haley or almost anybody else had the potential to be more successful as a nominee than Donald Trump. But it was his unwillingness to go further, to be more forceful in those comments, that made Lemahue not much different than a couple of those other Republicans on stage who are trying to be too cute by half in not offending Trump supporters. Chris Christie is pretty much the only one willing to try to grab fellow Republicans by the shoulders and shake them and say, he's a crook, he's selfish, he doesn't care about you, he's not one of us. What is it going to take? And it clearly is going to take more because Chris Christie is nowhere near winning the nomination. So this will be the last debate for a while. But as long as too many other Republicans are just far too timid about this, Donald Trump is heading toward a nomination that he may or may not be able to fulfill, depending on whether he gets convicted of felonies between now and Election Day. So we'll talk to Joe Zepecki in a bit about the fake electors. And a little later on, we'll talk to Kristen Lierley. We find out that the Sheboygan County DA did announce yesterday that he will appeal that case about the 1849 abortion statute, and much more still ahead on this Thursday morning, December 7th. This is Up North News Radio. We'll be back in a bit.
And just before she drank it, she said,
if anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today.
93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. It's limbo for a Texas woman after a judge's ruling allowing her to have an abortion, despite a ban, was put on hold by the state Supreme Court. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum explains how that happened.
The state's attorney general is among the most aggressive political figures in the nation, championing the Dobbs decision. It's no surprise that he would immediately appeal the decision granting emergency relief to perform an abortion.
Israel is ordering more evacuations in southern Gaza and worrying about more help from the U.S. CBS's Robert Berger.
Israel is concerned by the delay in the U.S. aid package because basically it desperately needs it. The war has been dragging on for more than 2 months. And the Israeli military is running short on vital supplies.
The Weather Channel's Kelly Cass says blustery winds are on the way.
Those winds, they are going to be really strong, especially for the 95 corridor, and that means airport delays.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keys.
Badgers took off for Arizona. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers headed out to Arizona yesterday. They're going to take on the number one team in college hoops, the Arizona Wildcats. The tip-off today in Tucson at 2:15. Wisconsin ranked 23rd in the state now after those wins last week Saturday against Marquette, later this week against Michigan State. But Greg Gard asked, is there any way they can improve their shots at the foul line at practice during the week?
You know, you can practice those things, and we've done every drill imaginable. It's still about performing when the lights are on, the pressure's on. All of them are good enough free throw shooters to make it when the gym's empty. You got to do it when, you know, the game's on the line and everybody's watching, the cameras are rolling. So that, from that standpoint, getting there is probably priority number one.
College volleyball, the Wisconsin Badgers women's team, now in the Elite Eight, a part of the NCAA National Tournament. They beat Penn State the other night, 3-1. Tonight, they face off against Oregon. That game gets started at 7 o'clock. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some snow is possible. Highs near 38 degrees. For tonight, snow likely, less than a half inch of accumulation. Breezy with a low around 23. Sunny for Sunday, 31. Sunshine and 35 on your Monday. For Tuesday, sunny and breezy, a high of 30.
Currently 33 degrees.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Try to see.
On this day in 1965, the Beatles released We Can Work It Out, and Day Tripper was on the B-side of that one. Also, their album Rubber Soul was released in the U.S. on this day as well. A little bit of breaking news, a little melancholy news. Longtime legendary TV producer Norman Lear has passed away at the age of 101. And I wanted to tie a bow on our conversation just now about DACA and the new proposal by state legislators that would offer up professional licenses. Just to note that the DACA program, which was started during the Obama administration, former President Trump repeatedly talked about killing it and then did try to kill it in September of 2017. And if that had been the case, those dreamers would have been eligible for deportation, and they would have lost access to education and to work visas. It was the U.S. Supreme Court that blocked the Trump administration's attempt to end DACA in a 5-4 ruling. And the ruling did not rule out the possibility that it could be brought back under different criteria. Brought back meaning bring back another attempt to end it. And so if Donald Trump were to win a new term next year, that is quite possibly something you would see, even as Republican and Democratic legislators in Wisconsin are looking to make it easier for DACA recipients to become the nurses and the teachers of tomorrow. And speaking of the teachers of tomorrow and today, there continue to be roadblocks toward education in Wisconsin and a properly funded education system in Wisconsin. We are already seeing talk about school referendums in the year 2024. Despite a multi-billion dollar surplus that Republican legislators continue sitting on because they'd rather try to push through tax cuts geared toward the very wealthy, something Governor Evers has vetoed a couple of times and would again. So let's try to explain the disconnect here with Denise Gomer Hutchinson, who joins us now to talk more from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Denise, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for being here. It was nice to talk to you last week. We were at a gathering discussing the Public Education Network and advocacy for public education, which one of the things that gets in the way sometimes is when you see a continuing parade of school referendums on the ballot. And people say, well, but wait, there's this big budget surplus. So, you know, we thought this would be a good time to come on and ask you about all these school districts that are considering referendum efforts in 2024, why is all this happening already?
Well, you know, as regular increases to state aid education funding have been stagnant and referendum approved spending has allowed school districts to exceed the revenue caps, which is required because their limits have stopped for two decades. Public schools have been hurt by downward spiraling spending. And when that happens, you can't run high quality public schools and be effective and give children the very best that they can get.
Yeah, it really is just a case of the Republican legislature. Well, we're going to say that we, you know, are fiscally responsible, quote unquote. And if you want local taxpayers to pick up the slack, then you're going to have to do it that way. They do. And referendum spending certainly has gone up in Wisconsin as a result, Denise. But I'm not saying that that's a good thing. It just sounds like an imbalance in the partnership.
Well, it's a total imbalance. Mm-hmm. And it's really disappointing and it's disheartening because, like you said, there's this huge surplus sitting out there that we could be putting to very good use. They could have met what WPEN, Wisconsin Public Education Network, requested, and that was a $1,510 increase per student in the state of Wisconsin in public schools. They could have met that for, you know, $450 million, well under their $8 billion surplus.
And instead, you've got referendum spending that is now at $650 million last year, you know, up from just $32 million back in the year 2000. But that's also because, you know, school districts have gone without increases that were adjusted for inflation, or shall we say for the cost of living, and I still can't believe I'm saying this, for 16 years. What's the impact when school districts go 16 years without cost of living increases from the legislature?
Well, it's staggering. I mean, well, Adams Friendship is a perfect example. If they wouldn't have been able to pass their referendum that they passed this last year, they were looking at dissolving their school district because they just couldn't keep doing it any longer. And then you have school districts out there saying, we have two electrical outlets in our classrooms. You know what electronics are like in public schools right now. That's just ridiculous to have two electrical outlets. And you have other superintendents that say, we cannot cut our way to excellence. So we have an increase in mandates. We have an increase in requirements for our public schools. We have a decrease or a stagnant increase in funding to our public schools. And you can't do your maintenance projects. So they fall to the wayside, and then they fall to the wayside some more. And then you get in a situation where you have things breaking down and you have serious needs within your buildings. Think of your own home. You know, you don't go 16 years without or 20 years without a new roof. You know, I mean, it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. And it's hurtful.
It is. And look, we're not looking to necessarily, pit one group against another. No. I'm just simply going to note, Governor Evers was at home plate at American Family Field yesterday with a big group of folks signing legislation that will provide, you know, millions and millions of dollars to renovate a stadium that is 22 years old. There's a lot of school buildings that are a little bit older than 22 years old. And so last year in April, there were 82 referendum initiatives on the ballot statewide. Do we think we're going to see more than that in 2024?
There's a very good possibility. And we just don't know what the requirements are going to be of taxpayers in our communities. And so there are a lot of schools out there right now doing surveys and talking to their public and their communities and saying, this is what we need to do. We need to replace boilers. We need to put on a new roof. We need to redo our parking lot so it's not potholes, so your cars aren't ruined when you're dropping your kids off for school. We need to pay for hot lunch for kids who don't have the money to pay for hot lunch. We need to pay for the unfunded mandates that are being required of us to pay. And we're having to pay for transportation to private schools, and we're having to pay for IEPs, individual education plans, for kids going to private schools. And all of that on top of not having any new real spendable money.
Right. And again, I have certainly mentioned the voucher school program many times. Even if you took that away, and you can't because it's just huge, but just the day-to-day expenses of running a public school district continue adding up without that legislative support. So what options do the districts have?
Well, they can't cut anymore. They've already cut. They've already changed their insurance benefits. They've already changed. They're not refilling positions when people retire or quit. They're doubling up on the requirements of what people have to do. And they're going to ask their taxpayers to help them create superb, excellent schools in their communities. And here's the important thing to understand and remember is that statewide, overwhelmingly, people in the state of Wisconsin really do support their public schools. And they believe in their public schools, and they believe in the education that's being delivered to children in public schools around the state of Wisconsin. It's just a question of knowing what the state of Wisconsin government is choosing not to do.
Right. And in just a cursory look online yesterday, and again, this is not to say that this is or isn't happening in any of these communities, but in these communities, there's already been discussion about referendums in 2024. River Falls, Menominee, Amroe, Platteville, Burlington, Abbotsford, Evansville, Green Bay, Williams Bay, Eau Claire, North Lake, West Bend.
Again, that's a partial list, just a first blush of districts that are talking about maybe referendums in 2024, which leads to this question. There's certainly going to be opposition expressed at those school boards and others over these next, you know, several weeks or months about referendums. For those folks that are supportive of public education in these districts and others, what's the role that they can play to be advocates for their public schools?
Well, they can do exactly that. They can be advocates. They can get involved in, they can talk to their board members and find out all the details so that they can talk sensibly and intelligently in their communities about why this is important and why it's necessary and what the real value is of passing these referendums and supporting their public schools. And you don't have to just be someone who has children in school, because everyone in a community, our public schools are the heart of our community, and everybody in the community is well served by having a high quality public school in their community. And so getting involved with Wisconsin Public Education Network, getting involved with the PTO or the community organization supporting the public school in the community, all of those things, because especially in our smaller communities around the state of Wisconsin, the public schools are the real center and the hub. And, you know, theater productions happen there. People go and watch sporting events. If you have a great public school in your community that's doing really well in their sports and their activities and their theater, the community pours out to get to see these things because it may be their only source to get to come and participate and be engaged in their community.
And one other thing that people can do, because there is still time, the window just opened up last week for people to take out papers to run for their local school board. Now, there's only another 3.5 weeks or so to get that paperwork in, but that is still something that is very much an option for public education advocates here in the month of December, right?
You bet it is. And we really hope everyone who is if you believe that our kids are critical for our future and that their success in their public schools is critical, and you believe in high quality public schools, get out there and run for office. Be a school board member, make a difference in your community, be engaged and be involved, because we also have other things that need to be done, because city councils and county boards need pro public education members on those boards and those commissions as well.
And this all is a result, this particular advocacy from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. And I'll put that address up on screen for the video feed as well, but it's wisconsinnetwork.org. Again, wisconsinnetwork.org. What do you tell folks about the Public Education Network, what it is, what it represents?
We advocate for children all across the state of Wisconsin to have high quality public schools that are equal no matter where you live in the state of Wisconsin. And right now that's not happening because of the funding in our public schools. And if you're a declining enrollment district or you're in a smaller community, you may have been a low spending district 16 years ago. And so you haven't been able to make up for those differences. And if your school isn't big and growing, you haven't been able to make up. And so you're continuing to lose every single day. And so we're out there advocating for you. We help people build community organizations to support their public schools, because we really believe that every school and every kid deserves a great public school. And we're going to help make that happen.
Denise Gommer-Hutchinson is from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, one of the team members there. Somebody I'm sure we'll be talking as we continue on our homeroom segment every Wednesday, talking about public education in Wisconsin and making sure that we have the kind of network that works for every kid right in Wisconsin. And we appreciate that so much, Denise. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Great being here. Have a great day.
All right. And when we come back, Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show will be along as well. We're going to talk about some of his seedy past that I learned about very recently, and ask him to defend his record and his musical morality. I'll explain more right after this. You're up north.
93.5 The Tap.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Coming up next across the Civic Media Radio Network, folks in Madison will be hearing Stephanie Miller, Wisconsin Rapids. You get James and Company. Many of the rest of you will be listening to Earl Ingram. They're all followed by As Goes Wisconsin, and then Todd Alba at noon, Matt Flynn at 2, Devil's Advocates at 4, Maggie Dawn at 6. But coming up next on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau is our friend Chad Holmes. Well, it's kind of Wausau. It's kind of Mosinee, because I heard him go on a rant the other day, and I felt so good about this rant, because for weeks I kept trying to get the Wausau temperature, and I'm typing Wausau into the National Weather Service page, and it says no such station or something like that.
Right.
So I finally figure out the shortcut to put in Mosinee for the Central Wisconsin Airport, close enough, I figure, only to find out Chad's been going through this whole thing, but he refuses to say that the temperature in Mosinee is the temperature in Wausau. He wants the temperature in downtown Wausau, and sir, I salute you for that dedication to accuracy.
Pat, I pull up my phone because it says Wausau, because then I can Wausau.
Look at poor Greg. Poor Greg is... Are you upset about this?
No, I'm going to call you. Anyone who knows who's listening to the show, I'm going to call you on it. It's just not like that used to be.
I have become an old man in the last few years. I tell you, for so many different ways, but I've been in this market for a long time doing radio, and every day I would pull up the National Weather Service Wausau numbers, and then after 20, 25 years, it ended. Like, it must have been a month ago or something like that.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, what is – I know.
And I thought for like a day or two, like, oh, maybe the instrument station's down or something. Yeah. Look at poor Greg. He's just like, I can't believe these two old men are arguing about where they get the temperature from.
Hey, but I will not apologize for accuracy. Okay?
Tell me more about how you met your lady friend at the sock hop.
Hey, when I'm walking uphill into the snow during the winter, I want to know exactly what the temperature is.
Okay, well, Grandpa.
That's also why I only mention the Waukesha temperature, because we're on the Shaw and WAUK. I don't go, oh, it's 31 degrees in Milwaukee and at Mitchell Field. There's plenty of other radio stations that'll do that. We are for that Waukesha part of Milwaukee. So
thank you, sir. I don't know what to say. My gratitude overflows my cup.
All right, we're done with him. Chad, what are you talking about? What you talking about on the show today or recently?
Today I'm going to talk a little bit about a new story that came out concerning high levels of some forever chemicals, PFAS. Again, we've had an issue here in Wausau as bad as anywhere in the state. And of course, Mayor Rosenberg has been the leader in terms of trying to clean up the water. But a story that just came out from the Journal Sentinel, and Laura Schulte used to work here in Wausau, but now sort of a general reporter for the Gannett service. And some very high numbers have come up in a private well that serves only the 3M plant here in Wausau, which is ironic. It's like, we don't know why this area, this one well, is really spiked.
I'm not sure I'd use the word ironic, and I'm not looking at cast dispersions on 3M, but I'd want to know more.
The thing is, when I talk about this, I'm not going to assume facts not in evidence.
Yes.
But at the same time, again, it shows, and there have been those who have been a little bit critical of the mayor because it costs money to clean up the water.
Oh, here we go again.
And folks, including a morning show person just a few blocks from here, basically says, well, if people really want to clean up the water, they can buy the equipment and clean up their own water. Why should everybody have to pay for it?
Do they not own a VCR? Could they just go rent Aaron Brockovich?
I know. But it just, I mean, again, this is something that's not going away. You can't put your head in the ground and assume, well, all of a sudden the water's going to be clean. No.
Anybody who's against what
we're trying to do in this community is putting their head in the ground. But again, this is a new story. This well is only servicing the 3M plant. So the company is telling their employees, just drink the water from their water coolers.
Sure.
We can't live our lives.
But for those who want to just, like you said, stick their head in the ground, I hope that they do and take a great big drink while you're there because... I just, as it turned out, I actually saw that pivotal scene in the movie where like this corporation is telling Aaron Brockovich like, oh, there's nothing to worry about. We can buy off these people. And she slides them a glass of water and says, here, take a drink of this. And they, you know, they know better. Mm-hmm.
And
they do that.
I want my water clean. So I'll buy the proper equipment. What about all those other people that either are unaware or just plain can't afford the best equipment?
Right.
Again, it is such a selfish way to look at things. That's the bottom line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. I'm sure you've covered maybe one or two sporting events recently as well.
I'm getting tired already.
So. Oh, my goodness. No, you got a long season yet,
buddy. I tell you, I was down in the Milwaukee area over the weekend, Friday and Saturday, doing some hockey. Tonight, I'm going down to Monona Grove with the Wausau West boys basketball team to do a game because doggone it, it's what we got to do here. It's really, again, I'm fortunate to be able to tag along on the bus and have a good time, but it is a busy time. The winter is always a busy time. Fortunately, I'm not a skier or anything. I don't do anything else out of doors during the winter, so it helps get me through the winter faster.
That's why I like when Mayor Rosenberg was on and you were asking Katie, and she was saying she wasn't a winter person initially, but now she full out embraces it, you know, the snowshoeing and all of that. And I thought, good for you, because like I said, I've got my winter recreation activity. It's about 8 to 10 steps to the hot tub, you know, in the backyard, and that's where I got to go. You know,
don't forget, you got to carry that like that heavy old fashioned in your hand.
Yes.
Oh, it's my workout for today.
Yep, that's it. I'm good to go. But you get your winter sports, your indoor winter sports that you're covering for us, and we appreciate
it. Very
that.
Cold in those ice arenas. I got to tell you that much.
Oh, yeah.
I did buy two new winter coats for the first time in 25 years.
So I heard that.
And it's right back here. It's hanging up in my office here. It's a nice long black coat. It's very toasty warm, I tell you. It's fantastic. So I took advantage of the after Thanksgiving sale. I feel so good about myself.
You're listening to After Winter Fashion Tips with Chad Holmes. And
I like that he also says it's the last jacket he's ever going to buy. Like he's
such a man thing to say.
I bought two just in case I have an issue with this coat. I have the other one and I don't have to go buy and shop it.
You bought a backup coat.
He bought a backup coat because he never wants to buy coats again.
I was looking at both of them. I thought, well, I'm going to splurge today because now I don't have to ever buy again. Because I would think I would only buy one. Then why not? Let's go for it. They're half off. Let's just do it.
There again, Bull Falls Radio, official fashionista, Chad Holmes.
This is the kind of stuff you get for the next 2 hours.
Coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, sir. Have a great day. All right, Greg, you have a great day, too.
You as well, sir.
Tomorrow, we will talk about the growing list of school referendums already for 2024. Remember that you can follow us all day long. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com or upnorthnewswi on the socials. You can follow me, Pat Kreitlow, Up North on Facebook or Pat Kreitlow on Twitter. Again, remember, all of Wisconsin is America's true Up North, and we're glad you could be up here on the lake for a while. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hey, it's Amanda. And a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A nugget trays is that they're so easy for the holidays. They're warm and flavorful. It's always a crowd pleaser. When I put down a nugget tray, everyone is happy.
Hey, this is Brian, and the little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A nugget trays is the joy that it brings to me and everybody around me during the holidays. They're warm, juicy, and delicious.
Cater the holidays with Chick-fil-A today. Available on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.